What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Hello, happy December.
Happy holidays.
So you saw Zone of Interest.
On my birthday, no less.
What a congratulations. Did you not go? I thought the weather, because it was raining.
Yes, but maybe but did it rain? The ice skating was covered, but though still outside. Oh, okay. But it was, I wouldn't recommend skating. Not I would recommend skating at this scenario. Place in particular, because it was kind of, it's kind of a pop-up skating rink, and it feels as such. Yeah, fake. The skates were fake, the ice was covered in water, it was challenging, but I did end up, like, getting a feel for skating again, and I was gliding around, and I got the wind in my hair, and all my, you know, the friends really showed up, and we had a laugh. And the skates at this place called Glide are not to be worn because now the insides of my feet are skinned, more or less.
Yeah,
I got some really intense blisters, and all is well. All is well.
It keeps the memory alive.
But I had a birthday. I got older.
That's right. Well, we all get older every day. We just only think about it one day.
We only think about it one day. I'm flushing the toilet. Excuse me.
Gorgeous.
Yes, I got older and I made a cake, a delicious cake.
You made a birthday cake for yourself.
I did indeed. You can't leave things like that in the hands of others. So, yes.
What did you...
I made the Claire Saffitz New York Times chocolate cake.
Wow. I can't picture this, but I assume it's like a traditional large chocolate
cake. Yes, it's a three-tiered cake. There's no slicing of layers involved. And there's a couple unusual things. One is that, like, you make the cake itself using reverse creaming, and it's an oil-based cake. So it's, like, very delicious. And then the second unusual thing is that the frosting starts with a custard base. So you make a chocolate pudding, basically, with eggs and milk and cocoa and chocolate, regular chocolate. Wow. And then you beat butter into it in the mixer to make a buttercream.
Rich.
But the thing about it, because it's a pudding base, it doesn't have that, like...
Well, it is rich, but it's...
Right, it doesn't have that, like, butter feeling.
It's creamy, rich.
Right, it's a little bit, wetter, but it was really nice. But it holds the cake really well. I have to say, absolutely, it traveled well. It was great.
Where did you eat it?
We went to Russell's apartment after ice skating, and it was, like, 11 or 12 of us, and we ordered some pizzas.
Wow.
That was a proper birthday party.
That's great. Cake and pizza. This is ideal.
Absolutely ideal.
Wow.
Mm.
Did it. And then you decided to go see Zone of Interest, which is an interesting birthday.
No, that happened in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Because my friend Cassie called. She said, do you want to go see this movie? I said, oh, well, I think I can do it after the cakes come out of the oven. So while they cool, we'll watch a movie.
Sure.
So,
that's great.
I ran over to the Angelica.
Yeah, I'm essentially going to New York City next week to watch this
movie. I'm glad you're seeing it at Lincoln Center, because Angelica.
It's like a blacked out.
It's not a place to see, particularly that. I mean, you could go see a silly movie there, but.
Sure. But they don't...
This movie is...
They don't really show the kinds of movies that you would actually go... That were kind of fitting to the badness of that space.
There are two huge issues with the Angelica. Sound is number one.
Trains.
It is like every 2 minutes you're like, is there a bomb in the movie or an earthquake or is it just the subway again? And it's the subway again. And unfortunately, this movie, Zone of Interest... The primary narrative tool is sound.
Wow.
So,
I mean, the sound in Under the Skin is so world-making.
Oh.
So,
yeah, I mean, you're not going to believe it.
But I'm so...
Even in a shitty
theater... I'm so excited to see it.
I mean, it was 11:30 in the morning, so the one thing that I can say is that the audience was great.
No one was
there. Well,
there
was a few people there, and they were good. They were quiet.
Uh-huh. Well, I look forward to seeing this movie and then talking to you about it. I'm also going to go to... We're going to go to the Met.
Yep.
We're going to go to that Manet...
Yeah, but we also have to go to the women non-women show.
Uh-huh. Oh, great. I don't even know. So, yeah, I think I've decided to cancel my train tickets and drive instead. And then I have flexibility. Heaven. It's probably cheaper. Yeah. And, yeah, so Pam's going to join us.
Wonderful.
I think I'm going to park near Pam. Uh-huh. We're going to go to... Pam and I are going to go to MoMA.
Okay.
To see a show she's
already
seen.
I will go. I want
to
go.
Thank you, Pam. No. Well, I'm using her membership.
I'll pay.
Okay. And then we're going to go to the Met, and then we're going to have lunch. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go see the movie, because Pam, I think probably correctly, is like, I don't think this is the kind of movie I want to see right now.
She does not.
Like, I think she's correct. And I think... If I hadn't been looking forward to this movie for 5 years, I wouldn't be rushing to see it in this moment. But
I will say,
in terms of
it
content,
is riveting.
But like,
it's very intense, and in terms of people who like are worried about feeling triggered by imagery, they won't be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my sense is, I mean, there was a very negative, I didn't read the whole review, so because I don't want to know anything about this. I've avoided seeing trailers and such. But, a very negative, headline review of this movie, I doubt it.
In what publication?
In the New York Times. But, the same person who has Oppenheimer on their best
That's
of
so
list.
Crazy.
So,
okay.
You know. I think I care not what they think.
Certainly not. This person is...
So,
no.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm excited to see it.
I did see a movie, and it is called Dream Scenario.
Never heard of it.
Starring Nicolas Cage. And this is a movie that I feel a bit duped by, having thoroughly laughed and enjoyed... 3/4 of this movie.
And when is it from?
Now. I saw it in the theater. I think it's worth seeing. I really enjoyed it. And then it does this very, contemporary, social media culture thing.
Oh, dear.
And I along the way felt like, ooh, this could really go bad at any moment. And then it did. Oh. But I thought it was really beautifully filmed and had interesting devices that it used.
Is Nicholas being kooky-looky?
Essentially, well, it's a kooky looky concept. Essentially, Nicolas Cage plays this kind of boring, essentially boring professor of animal behavior. But people start having dreams about him. And it kind of becomes this pandemic of people dreaming about him. He becomes famous.
Wow.
And that's all I'll say about the plot. I think Nicolas Cage is a fascinating person to watch always. Yeah. I definitely thought of adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of strangeness. I really did enjoy so much of this movie. It was very disappointing. And it shows something about what the movie thinks of itself when you get to the end. You know, it sort of reminded me of Suspiria remake in that way, where I was like, oh, But, you know, I don't know. I enjoyed going to see a movie. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see Poor Things, Zone of Interest.
Has your spouse been joining you for any of this?
No. Well, Jack just finished teaching this semester yesterday, so...
So they're asleep.
While they're, like, in meetings or other things. But, it's been a lot. So, yeah. So that's movies. Did you see... The Crown is over. I watched that.
I finished The Crown.
It was kind of sleepy. Like, I don't care about William.
No.
I liked the feeling of everyone dying, and I kind of wish that had been the whole second act here.
Well... Excuse me, I'm eating a bagel. The Margaret episode was quite moving. And I have to say, this whole show would be such a monumental flop without all these incredible actors.
Absolutely. It's an acting showcase.
Wait, only these people could make this okay. I have to say, Leslie Manville... as Princess Margaret deteriorating towards death was really heartbreaking.
Excellent. Yeah, so that's sort of where I ended up. I wasn't interested in these actors for William and Kate and that whole storyline. I thought it is like Next Generation, so it makes sense in that way and why it focused on William instead of Harry.
Well, they really, I have to say, the actors that they had for the second to last William and Harry's, I was like, these are interesting.
Yes. I far preferred them as well.
And then they got these ones for the last bit that I was like, I'm not buying it. Like, this is not a Harry. And this William is like some kind of weird model wearing a mask. It was weird.
Interesting. That was the feeling. Like, your face isn't...
Yeah, real. I was like, why is your face so plush? Something's...
And do I care about Kate's mother and, like, the whole scenario? I don't. I don't care about any of it. Like, that's for the next, you know, The Crown 2 can be about, like, Charles and William and whatever.
I have no interest in them trying to paint a picture of Kate Middleton as some kind of, like, person with integrity. I'm like, I'm not buying it, doll.
Don't care. I simply don't care.
I'm like...
I did like going to Diana's Island because I watched that video that like shit went around that property and it looks like it's
where
the real place
is?
But you know, he rows the boat out there. I thought that was very sweet.
Yeah, that was nice. I did like a little bit the reconciliation of Charles and William. Like, these actors just handle all these things well.
Well, I think the lineage of, like, that evil husband, you know, and then Charles and William, I think that makes sense in terms of, like, I wish that the focus would have been, like, the dying off of this generation. Yeah. And a bit, just a little bit of that kind of passing on. Like, I liked the wedding to Camilla and that kind of the tension around. But I felt like they needed more time to transition into her death. I was like, a wide shot of her walking through these doors is not
it.
Well,
I did like this, like, little touches of condemnation in the last episode of being like, so Prince Philip is... a monster. He's hideous. Like, the part where they're having their picture taken and he's acting like a total asshole.
Uh-huh.
And then the whole kind of inner struggle that the queen is having with whether or not to step away, and you have her middle-aged self being like, hun, go ride horses and enjoy your life. And I'm thinking, great. And then you have her young self, who's less experienced and less wise, being like, don't forget, it's only you till death. You have to do it till you're dead. And I'm like, so you're going to listen to your young self? I was like, this makes literally no sense. wouldn't you want to listen to the version of yourself that has, like, more life experience? Apparently not. She's like, that's right. I will do this till I'm dead. Fuck everybody.
I sort of feel like she made the right choice.
Why is that?
In this ridiculous scenario in which
she's nothing the queen. Really matters with them.
Well, it's sort of like either it is like this divine thing or it's not, and y'all should skedoodle away. So I'm sort of like, if this whole charade is gonna play out, you kind of do have to play it out.
Like,
because how she became the queen was like a bump in the road of that playing out properly. And people, like, not playing by the rules.
Because of her uncle?
Potentially set up the whole plot of the show, which is essentially, like, the public doesn't like us.
Right.
What do we do?
But at the end of the day, the public carries on with the royal family because rich. Anybody rich? They bring in huge revenue for the country.
I see. Yeah. And, like, they do hold this kind of magical thing that, like, folklore and all these things, you know, tradition and...
Look,
a kind of curse.
The whole bullshit of them being supported by the citizens of Britain, or the subjects of Britain, rather, is crazy bullshit. But I do enjoy, you know, the kind of human struggle for each of them of being trapped inside of it. I think that is the compelling... That's always the compelling thing about the royals, is that they're in a prison, which... They're a very luxurious prison.
Yes, but, I mean, in terms of, like, a kind of American individual freedom worldview, it is truly, like, the worst thing that could happen to
you. To be a royal.
Is to, like, yeah, basically have your whole life determined for you. It's an arranged marriage. It's like, you know, it's like...
Well, I mean...
It looks terrible. Horrific.
The whole thing looks terrible. You can't... Everything you do is scrutinized by not only everyone in the family, but then everyone in the press and everyone in the country. And they're all, like, invested in these mundane decisions. You know, it's like, where are you going to go to school? Right. It's like, who cares? Oy.
Yeah, and that is oldness and tradition holding on and continuity because everyone's afraid.
But anyways, good job, The Crown. I mean...
Yeah, overall, like, a really incredible, impressive
project. Oh, yeah. Beautiful to look at. To tell the story. So many clothes, very good acting.
Oh, my favorite part probably in the whole series is when she's looking at her funeral...
The bagpipe.
Miniature.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is really it. Like, planning your funeral, I really loved that part of moving to the end.
Yeah.
Of, like, being with her still alive and, like, kind of witnessing her own.
Oh, yeah. And did I cry when the bagpiper came in? Absolutely.
Incredible. I mean, I think that whole storyline around, like, kind of the keepers of this other kind of deep culture.
Well, that was sick to me. Even, like, as someone who really relates to these, like, strange tasks, I was like, this is so sick.
But that's, like, truly why things work in other countries and not here. Because there is, like, old-ass money that can, like, prop up these niche-as-fuck things.
Right, but I was like...
You know, and before the NEA... collapsed, you know, there was some of that kind of arts funding through the government.
Right. I guess if you see them as arts, as like this is an art, the person who like deals with
they
the
swans. Are like the swan person. They're like those. That's what that is. That like holds that culture forward. And absolutely, you can debate like, you know, if there should be food for starving children.
Right, or
rather than like a swan
absolutely needs
wrangler
to be
or whatever.
A salary for the person who folds the napkins, you know.
But that's not really how budgets are made, you know?
Right.
It's
right.
Like there's always like, room for more military spending.
Oh, billion.
And
billion.
Then there's like never money for education.
So, well, it's all backwards.
It's all inside out.
Inside out, inside out.
But
inside out. I have good news for you.
Yes. Oh, great.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I watched your favorite holiday film.
You watched Eyes Wide Shut, finally.
I did. And while I watched it, I really thought, wow, I've never seen this movie.
No.
It was weird because I had an impression, like perhaps I had, maybe because I'd just seen so many clips from it.
Right.
And then I was watching it and I was like, this is not what I thought. This is not it. But,
yeah. I think that's also because when that movie came out, it was such a, like, huge thing. Like, I didn't see it till much later as well. But it, like, had really, like, a cultural presence because of this, like, sex,
right.
Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise, like, oh, we get to see them, like, have sex on screen. And then Stanley Kubrick died, like, at that same time.
He died before the release.
So it was, like, a huge thing.
Well, interestingly, I wasn't expecting such a small film. Like, I guess I thought it would have, like, a bigger scope, like, more time or something. But it really takes place over the course of 48 hours. It really takes place in this, like, very small area, aside from the excursion to the mansion, or the two excursions to the mansion. I guess he goes back for a minute. But I thought Nicole Kidman would somehow end up at the mansion. Like, it was so crazy to me that so much of the movie was just Tom Cruise. And I was like, where's Nicole? That's what I kept thinking. And not to say that Tom Cruise is bad in this movie. He's excellent in this movie. And in fact,
always is excellent.
The scenes where Tom Cruise just listens are sensational. When he's listening to Nicole Kidman say crazy things.
Mm-hmm, that dream.
Well, A of all the dream. B of all the story about the naval officer, and watching him like get flushed while he listens to this story. And I was like, this is an amazing film. This is an amazing film.
It is.
Now, where would you like to begin discussing this amazing film?
Well, I think part of like the tremendous strangeness of this movie is the set decoration.
Very odd.
Like,
wait.
So, you know, go to this Christmas, even their apartment.
Can I just say, when the film opens and they're in their kind of bathroom bedroom, and I think, oh, this is like a very modest apartment. And then they walk out into the rest of it. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like,
yes, because they live in this kind of, I don't know, it's not trashy, but it's very like, stuff
they
is around.
There's like
lots of stuff. And there's like walls, or there's like lots of paintings and like
particularly
things and
the
stuff.
The bedroom is like, this is our area of clutter and things. The rest of the house is probably more appropriate for entertaining, but the kitchen, even it's got some stuff in it, and they have a lot of paintings on the wall because she was a gallerist. The set decoration is totally compelling. They have these crazy curtains that seem like very out of place in a home like this, but it was
it's also part of that feeling of like, there's a kind of uncontrolledness that feels like they aren't as rich as they actually end up being in the space is
huge.
Like
rich
people. I think this is like probably more real than not.
Well,
like,
yes, the apartments like that, I've been in them, and those are apartments that are, like, at one time in the history of New York, were probably fairly modest apartments. You know, like, they were for a doctor.
Doctor. Yeah, this scenario. Yeah.
And now doctors are living in, you know, studio apartments. But, I don't think it seems totally out of the realm of possibility. It's not completely fantasy. There is...
It's a scenario in which, like, Yes, it makes sense because, like, Nicole Kidman is basically decorating this house. Yes. Right? It's not a decorator. And there's a nanny of some kind.
There's a babysitter.
And there's probably, like, a maid that comes in there's a lot sometimes. But it's not, like, it's not being maintained daily.
No, this isn't, they don't have a staff or anything like that. But
anyway, so, and then it's also Christmas, so they're like, and they're decorating themselves in this colored lights, bric-a-brac, children's
well, they have stuff, they have a child, kind of way. Who has no impact on the film whatsoever in this strange way. Like, her existence matters, but her character doesn't matter at all. Yes.
That's right. That they have a child is, I think, crucial and really plays out in the last scene.
But there's literally...
As like a shadow force.
No tension around this child at all. This child is nothing. And they hired an actress to be completely nothing as this child.
Yeah. Like, I can't picture her
at all. She has red hair. That's it. They were like, well, let's get a redhead to, like, make believe Nicole Kidman's a redhead. They're like, okay. I have to say, so refreshing to see Nicole Kidman's hair in a film.
Do we know this is her hair?
I'm going to go ahead and say that that is not a wig. And I
think that's a bold choice. I'm not the
total authority on the matter, but...
Because I don't think, like, it's ever her hair.
It is never her hair anymore.
But
it's so early that I think it's her hair. I think
it's early, and I think the Kubrickness of it might have
right.
You know,
and I am pretty good at spotting a wig. Like, you know, like The Crown is just so full of wigs, and you really feel when they're bad. You know, and this show, like that, I really think was Nicole's hair. How about that the very first shot of the film is inside of the credits, and it's just Nicole Kidman stripping, taking off all her clothes in her bedroom.
Yeah, because movies are dreams. And it's also incredible.
This is something...
That was also, like, the image sequence for selling this movie.
I remember this.
Which I think is incredible, but also...
Misleading.
Set up it being framed in this way.
I don't know if I should take issue, but I had a weird, uncomfortable feeling around the way women are used in this film. Mm. And particularly because it doesn't necessarily seem like a commentary. I don't know. I was confused. But the way that they were cast to all look identical and basically have no faces aside from Nicole Kidman... And, you know, there was, like, the two women at the party who spoke with Tom, and then the two prostitutes who live in the apartment in that made-up neighborhood in New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, New York is Canada, fake. It's, like...
Right.
Kind of comedically they not New York.
They filmed in London?
Oh, is that makes sense.
And the streets Kubrick. That they spend most of their time on, exteriors in New York, have names that are absolutely not in New York City. The street, I was really like,
It very much feels like a set. But I think it adds to the kind of surrealness of the whole, the feeling of the movie is dreamy. Yeah.
I mean, they were quite thorough. Like, if you didn't live in New York, you'd have no idea. The post boxes are correct. The lights are correct. The street signs are correct. It's just.
Yeah, I also think in like, I mean, even now, probably, like, you could imagine. That maybe being New York at a different time.
Well, look, I was like, what is...
I remember when I first saw this movie, probably 10, 15 years ago. Is that possible? God. Probably 10 years ago. It felt comedically not New York, but...
I don't...
Also, like, the emptiness and kind of... There are like specific objects in the streets that are just sort of comically not present or, you know, like anachronistic. Yeah. But I think as time goes on, it becomes more less of obvious or present.
And then there was like one or two exterior shots in New York. And so I was like, interesting. Mm. We're there.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so all the actresses in this film look like Nicole Kidman. Like,
which I also think is like the dreamness of it. Because I do think that this movie is about Tom Cruise.
Yes. Which is Tom Cruise's character.
And Nicole Kidman, because I think in general this movie is about like the man recognizing and being in the terror of finding out that women have like an interior.
Right.
That's like sexual interior.
I guess Nicole's whole narrative in this movie is that like she is a complex and powerful sexual person. And it is Tom Cruise like coming to understand how that feels for him. And, you know, going through all the phases of like upset and intrigue and rage and jealousy. Mm-hmm.
Because she asks him about like if he thinks that the women who's, because he's a, what is the kind of doctor? Is he a gynecologist?
Well,
is he just a general practitioner?
Because he's seeing children, he's seeing women.
He goes to that.
He's also does house calls.
Right. Yes. So maybe it's just a scenario in which, like, yeah, he sees women. Like, do Nicole Kidman's character is like, do you think that they fantasize about you? And he's like, no, women don't do that.
She's like, well, you're an idiot.
And she's like, well, I do. And that's when you get into the story of like her sexual fantasy. And they're smoking pot. Yeah. Like I think they're high in this conversation or getting, you know, progressively, which is also like the kind of dream hallucination of the that is the movie.
This is a really great moment in costume design. Just the kind of seeth,
the panties, the
very high cut panties on her, on her long pelvis, and then this sheer, very also weirdly high cut camisole. Really incredible. Very good. And you kind of never, Tom Cruise has underpants on. You don't get a good sense of them because mostly it's close shots on his face.
Face, yeah.
But you do get the sense that he has a kind of, like, dreamy, not overly honed body. Just kind of, like, enough. It's great.
Uh-huh. Very approachable.
Very approachable. And what's interesting about this movie is that it kind of proposes that everyone in the world is in love with Tom Cruise.
Well, and they are.
And, yeah, which I get. I mean, I kind of like, well, sure. Like, that's, I guess.
And that's, and part of it is, like, that approachable. It's like, oh, this is, like, this is someone to have fantasies about.
Right, right.
Like, in the sense that, like, maybe that, like, the woman whose father is dying, is that the scenario of the deathbed?
She's like, painfully in love with him.
She's like, you know, she's married. She's like, I'll throw away that person
or engaged. Greg from Norman Greg.
Incredible. And she's like, let's just do this.
I mean, that is the magic of Tom Cruise because, like, there's all these other men in the film that are kind of more classically the masculine archetype, like the Greg from Dharma and Greg. He's tall, dark, and handsome. And then you have this, like, strange Hungarian guy at the party who's like, so he's tall and dreamy, but like somehow
player or, oh, the guy talking to Nicole,
the man who
Kidman.
Nicole,
yes, who's
is
like,
dancing with.
Why are you here alone?
Well, the man
whatever,
who's just like,
your husband,
at what point in this party are we gonna fuck?
Uh-huh.
He was hot.
Wow. Okay.
We're not in agreement.
Well, I don't think he's, like, an attractive person, but I do think that it's an interesting, like, power play that is, like, sexy.
Their whole seduction, here's what I was thinking during that scene. I was like, it is this moment in meeting a person that is, like, the most erotic. this moment, like, before you actually have sex, this moment before, like, anything is real. Like, you're inside of the fantasy of this Christmas party. You know nothing about this person, and there's, like, nothing kind of more thrilling than this, like, moment before.
Yeah, well, I have a question around, like, that explicit dynamic in relationship to this idea of, like, are women thinking about the doctor, you know?
The Dr. Tom Cruise.
Or, like, you know, in general, like, do women
have...
They're
all over him.
So, like, that she kind of leans into this flirtation with, you sense, like, without, like, nothing's going to happen here.
Right.
Right? Well, like, that's what my feeling is. Like, she's like, going
she's
along
bored
with
at
it.
The party. She's trying to get smashed.
Right.
She's just, like...
And her husband
is
somewhere.
She's throwing back flutes of champagne. And she is
that's
thrilled
right.
to have, like, a diversion. To be like, oh, wow, this guy uh-huh. is...
And to be
absolutely.
Seen.
I mean, here's where...
But we don't get the sense that she's, like, that, like, Tom Cruise... That they don't have a good, like, connection
no.
or something. We don't really know anything about them at that point.
I love Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman in this movie. I think it's a very genius casting, particularly because they were married at the time. However,
mm-hmm.
there is something about the character she's playing that feels a little bit incongruous with what she looks like. Because she's going into these spaces and you're like, everyone would be completely
supermodel.
Blown over by this person walking in. Like, she...
Well, that's what... But that also makes sense of this scenario. Of like, oh, wow, I'm going to have you in that
right,
conversation.
Right, right, right. That felt good. That's why I was like, this is right.
And that's kind of the only time she's out of the house, right?
Well, there's the obviously
other than like the dream,
incredible
story
scene
things.
At the toy store at the end.
Well, yes, which you know, it's really like you could watch the whole movie just for that scene.
I mean,
it's
honestly,
incredible.
Like I feel like I had understood the movie so well that by the time she got to that last line, I knew exactly what she was going to say. Because
incredible.
I was like, she's going to say fuck, because that is the thing that they have somehow not managed to accomplish in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Like,
it's incredible. A movie based on, like, seeing them fuck.
And you never do.
And it ends with her being like, because so basically what happens in the plot, basically, Tom Cruise gets, like, in this scenario with these women, like, ends up at this party, which is sort of the, like, iconic visual of this movie, where it's, like, everyone's wearing masks or
right,
whatever.
It's like a cult event for the uber-rich men who basically get to orgy with
out.
Supermodels and poop, but...
by invitation
everyone's
only.
Everyone's masked. And then...
So basically Tom Cruise gets into trouble.
But
and
we
eventually...
don't actually understand why he's in trouble. I guess it's just because he shouldn't be
no.
there.
Well, he shouldn't be there. And then something about the woman, and she's supposedly, like, sacrifices herself. There's, like, these...
But then also maybe she doesn't.
These dynamics,
really does,
and someone
she does
dies
die
of,
a drug overdose.
Like, a drug overdose. But you never really...
It's unresolved.
You never know what actually
happened.
And they
keep it really confusing
because
all the women in this movie look identical.
Yes. So you're like, who
you're
are
like,
they talking about? And like masks
the woman,
and like all the bodies
the
are the same.
Is that the sick woman from
yeah.
the Christmas party? Or is that a different... They all look the same.
Right. And there's... I really think the costume shop dynamic is also this insane,
oh my God.
Bizarre,
the Lily
incredible...
Lily Sobieski scene with those guys.
Where her father decides to like let her continue to sleep with these... John's, I guess.
Yeah, that was really bizarre.
And the Alan Cumming hotel scene.
Oh, I loved
scene.
Alan Cumming
incredible.
Shamelessly flirting
best,
with Tom Cruise.
Best thing he's
truly
ever done.
Truly amazing.
Certainly.
Doing an American accent and
flirting
up
incredible.
A storm with Tom Cruise. I was like, this is, thank God there's something gay in this film.
So basically, Tom Cruise, Nicole knows that something has happened. Do we know what she knows? Because I'm like, I don't know
well,
what I know
who
at this
put the
point.
Mask on the pillow?
Right, so he brings the mask home. Well, I guess she finds it.
The mask.
He, like, hides the mask yeah. away.
He hides the whole costume away.
And then it ends yeah. up on a pillow. And then he like, has a breakdown.
He's basically like, something bad has happened.
And then they have, there's, you know, just this incredible, like, tense morning after kind
and
of thing.
She's smoking in the house.
She's smoking, and it's, like, the most Hollywood. It's just, like, this is what movies right. are for. Her, seeing Nicole Kidman smoke like
this.
She's
been crying, but now she's smoking on the couch. Mm-hmm. The daughter is not, it's twilight. The daughter's not yet awake.
It's probably, like, Christmas. We don't
well,
know.
Well, no, because they're...
Right?
No, like they're going shopping. To FAO Schwartz or whatever.
Right. So I don't know how that scene ends or what they talk about, but then they go... Then we're in a toy store, and they're, like, Barbies and, you know... the daughter sort of runs off looking at toys.
They couldn't be less interested. At one point, Nicole Kidman, like, she looks at something, and the daughter's like, I like this, and Nicole Kidman goes, it's very old-fashioned.
Okay. Is it a Barbie?
I don't think so, but I was like, what?
Yeah. And they're sort of like, in a, again, like in a dream, kind of like floating through the store, having some kind of conversation, and Tom Cruise thinks, like, I don't know, that, like, typical things, like, you have to apologize
like,
endlessly or something.
He's worried. He's like, is our marriage over? Like, what do we have to do here?
Right. He's like, what do I need to do to, like, make this okay?
And I think he basically says, like, what do we need to do to make this okay?
But in this way, that's like, I need to, in this kind of, like, just normal way, that, like, I feel like the man, after that kind of scenario, feels like he has to make it right. And she's like, what, I don't know what the line is exactly.
I think she literally just says, fuck. I mean.
Like, as soon as possible. There's some sense of, like, no, what we really need to do is, like, fuck as soon as,
I'm gonna look it up, because I, now I'm really.
Yeah.
Let me see. Last line of Eyes Wide Shut. It was genius, and it was very predictable for me. Because in my mind, I was thinking, I know exactly what they need to do. It's the thing they never did.
Well, right. But this is where, this is more telling of who you are than anything else. I don't, yes. I mean, there's like, and I think this line was probably more shocking when it came out as well. I think culturally we have moved towards this, is my sense. Have you still not found it?
I still not found it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh
no.
Don't you worry. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Did you find it?
Well, here, it comes up right away. Oh. Well, this is a different line. She says, maybe I think we should be grateful.
No, that's not it.
We're grateful that we've managed to survive through all of our adventures, whether they were real or only a dream. I mean,
oh,
that's
I guess
incredible.
Alice says, there's another thing that we need to do as soon as possible. And Tom Cruise is like, what? And then she goes, fuck. And that's the end of the movie.
And that's
the end.
Of the movie. Yes, because you and it's because you do just want it to be their last line to literally just be fuck.
And it is. And it is.
It's incredible. And you're like, yes, that's correct. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
They go through this, like, bizarre seduction with, like, all of these confessions and the one thing, and their clothes are always off, and they're just like, but it never happens. And you're like, what's going on? And Tom Cruise also never has sex in the movie, even though he's in so many situations where there's just sex all over the place. Like, he doesn't have sex with you.
Right, and he's, like, put into these, like, guilt-creating
right.
dynamics. But he's always, like, but he can't get off.
Right.
It's just not gonna
happen.
Because
he doesn't have sex with the first prostitute, who's lovely.
He doesn't have sex with the woman who's, like, be mine and I'll, the engaged
oh, no.
woman.
He doesn't have sex with anyone at this crazy orgy. He doesn't have sex with the second prostitute who's like, oh, by the way, the woman you didn't have sex with has AIDS or HIV. And then, And then he's just, like, losing his mind. He doesn't know what's real. He doesn't know what's just happened to him.
There's that incredible scene, you know, the first, in the, at the party, basically, he's, like, he's talking to these two women.
Oh, he didn't have sex with
them either. Which he could have sex with. But then he's taken away because the host has been in the bathroom with this, like, other woman, a prostitute, I think. Yeah, and... that incredible shot, bless you.
The biggest bathroom in the world.
Bathtub with that painting with her body, like, in this chair is so incredible.
The largest bathroom in the world that has...
I need to watch this movie.
Couch, armchair, paintings, writing desk. It's a bathroom. It's a bathroom.
Heaven. That's the bathroom of one's dreams.
Are we to suppose...
It's a living room and a bathroom.
Of the hosts?
I believe so.
Incredible.
And later on, they're... back there with the billiard scene.
That's right, where Sidney Pollack is like, don't fuck around, Tom.
That's where he's like, oh, you don't even
you
know what's
no
going
idea.
On here. This
like,
is all,
we didn't
like,
kill that girl. She died of an overdose, and your Nick Nightingale friend, we just put him on a plane back to Seattle.
Right, so he explains everything,
but really.
Like, we don't know that that's to be believed.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a spectacular movie.
Yeah. I love the Nick Nightingale scene where Tom Cruise shows up to that bar. He just happens upon it. He's like, oh, right, my friend Nick is playing here. He walks in for the final one note of their set and then has a strange talk with Nick Nightingale.
So good. It's so brilliantly structured.
It's beautifully...
The weird Christmas
beautiful
lights.
Sets.
Like, I think the way the Christmas lights are at that first party to me is so
nuts.
Because
so
it looks
crazy.
So kind of cheap and, like, just
but
half
also amazing.
Done.
They're,
and it looks
they're just
incredible.
Sort of, like, swagged
it's
all
so,
over the place.
Yeah. It feels... I mean, it's like a 90s kind of...
Well, it really is.
Like a poppy... I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah. Love
so
it.
So good.
And
how, wait,
so
I have to say, listening
Christmas
to that, you must remember this, to hear about the way in which the studio tried to get the film an R rating by putting CGI cloaked people in front of the, like, sex at the orgy, and even though, like, this, apparently the sex at the orgy scene wasn't even explicit, it was just, like, simulated, like, people bumping into each other, there's not one dick in the movie. How on earth could this movie get an NC-17 rating is absolutely beyond me. Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, that part of that podcast about, like, the rating system is so incredible. I mean, that's, like, the through line of that series.
Right.
Like, NC-17 for showgirls and that whole dynamic. And the attempt to, like, overcome that rating.
You know, and showgirls... deserves an NC-17 rating. it has rape. It's very graphic in the way that it depicts sex.
Yeah. But think of, like, every Quentin Tarantino movie.
Violent.
I mean,
very horrible. Yeah.
Crazy violence. But I mean,
I know.
Ratings.
Care. Like,
anyway.
Really.
Holiday movies. Did you make a list? I didn't work on my list at all. But I do have a list.
Okay, I don't.
Yeah. So, Eyes Wide Shut is on it. Though I don't think it's at the top of... I think It's a Wonderful Life is at the top of my
holiday. Wow, that's a hard
movie
to watch. It's long.
Because it's, like, an incredible movie. This is, like... Learn how to make a movie structurally and tell a story. It's really amazing. It's great
film.
Okay,
classic.
So other movies. White Christmas.
You know, I've also never watched that beginning to end.
Wow.
Should we watch that when I'm at your
house?
I
think it's a great... Yeah, let's watch it. Just in dancing. There's this dance section in that movie.
Yeah.
Come through.
Vera Ellen, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I can't wait.
I mean, there are several dance... I mean, I was thinking of, like, later on when they're rehearsing the show in the barn, that dance sequence, but there's a probably more iconic dance sequence earlier on when they first meet and they dance out into the...
Oh, onto the dock.
Onto the dock and dance on the boat.
Things I've seen, but no context.
Incredible.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Danny Kaye is in that
other
movie?
Movies.
Is that right? My mm-hmm. friend Adrina used to tell me I remind her of Danny Kaye, and I thought, I'll take
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I'll take
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. So dreamy in yeah. this movie. Ah, ah. Bing Crosby. And Rosemary Clooney.
That your name? I wonder what Bing's real name was.
Bong. Bing. Oh, let's do Bing
instead.
Instead
of Bong.
Holiday, which is a different movie than The
oh.
Holiday.
Oh, this, what was Holiday?
Holiday is a Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn movie about, that really takes place, it's kind of more of a New Year's
uh-huh.
movie, but, one of
okay.
my favorite
Never
movies.
Seen it.
Carol.
Well, obviously. It's one of the most famous
obviously.
Movies.
One of the most famous lesbian Christmas movies yet
Perhaps
to be made.
The one and only.
I also really love The Holiday.
This is the Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet.
Yeah. And it's funny
okay.
to rewatch because it comes at this weird moment before Airbnb
uh-huh.
where there's just this like house swap
uh-huh.
dynamic that's mm. happening. So that's also a little... It's a fun, but you know, it's an ensemble. Can't help but be charmed. This, for me, it's Cameron Diaz's best performance. Her and Jude Law. What's his name?
But
Jack
don't we
Black.
Think Cameron Diaz is amazing in My Best Friend's Wedding?
Yeah. Sure.
She really
sure.
is.
Sure.
Kimmy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, is this it?
Yeah. That's all I
what
have
about
right
Bridget
now.
Bridget Jones's Diary?
Never, don't care about it, have no interest.
Oh, it's a fun holiday film.
They're like a sad woman who's like just sad because she doesn't have someone to
well,
love.
Well, it's actually about how too many hot men are in love with her.
Oh,
she's
right.
oversexed. She's
but
a whore. She's a slut.
Right.
And that's what she's dealing with. But what's great about it is it includes British people that you would also see in Love Actually, except it's not...
Which I also think is a bad movie.
It's crazy. It's absolutely
upon
crazy.
Upon rewatching, I thought, this isn't
it's
good.
It's not. It has a few good things and a lot of trash. Like, it
yeah.
has Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson... being Slay the
totally.
Boots House Down Mama. But then you have Liam Neeson and that stupid child and, you know, dealing with the death of his mom or whatever, and you're like, couldn't care less.
Uh-huh.
And then
uh-huh.
you have uh-huh. Hugh Grant,
the
Hugh
affair.
Grant being the prime minister with,
absolutely
nobody
not.
Cares, but he is so handsome. And
yes.
then you have, well, yeah, the Alan Rickman whole thing is great with the affair and the Emma Thompson, and we love it. And Mr. Bean, the scene with Mr. Bean and Alan Rickman, amazing.
Mm-hmm, sure.
What are,
yeah.
oh, and then you have this stupid plot with the young people who end up going to America to have sex with people at
Ugh.
The bar with January Jones.
That's a lot of where the movie is absolutely unbearable.
So bad. Absolutely bad. And then you have the insane, absolutely insane plot of Keira Knightley and
always
her husband's best friend who decides to be really mean to her, except for that he's so in love with her that he has
her.
To admit it to her on Christmas
with
cards. As if
Cue
this
cards.
Was some kind of good idea. I'm like, oh, great. Now she knows. Now what do you expect is going to happen?
Get over yourself.
Insane.
Anyway.
Terrible. Way to complicate your friend's marriage, you stupid asshole.
Yeah, we hate that movie.
Well, I still... Look, I would... If it was on, I'd watch it. I think all the Harry,
yeah,
all
like
the
Harry
Potter,
Potter
films are holiday, obviously.
But there's like a specifically Christmas
Well, the
Christmas
first
one
is so Christmas, because it's for
is
kids.
Is it the first one? Yeah. That's nice.
What else? Well, as you know, I'm obsessed with Home for the Holidays. That's the best holiday movie.
Right.
I
don't like, in general, I mean, The Holiday sort of breaks against the ensemble rule of sorts, but I don't like a family. I don't like an ensemble family.
The Family Stone fits into that category of bad ensemble family movies, but there's just so many great people to look at in it.
I don't think it's bad. I think they're tremendous performances. Ugh. I just, like, the overall, I don't want to be in that kind of movie.
Luke Wilson being sad about Diane Keaton having cancer is really, oh, wow, I'm going to cry. Crying in the Snow. I want to revisit that film. I wish the Sarah Jessica Parker plot did not exist in that film.
She's in a lot of those bad family. What is that? The Family Stone?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, wait. There's like a more recent one.
Couldn't tell you if I tried.
Yeah, but, you know, she's not... She's Carrie.
She's only Carrie. I saw Harriet and I sold pom-pom ornaments at...
She was in Footloose.
Who was? Oh, Carrie.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
We Harriet and I sold pom-pom ornaments at the...
They look so cute, and I love the trees.
Anyways, we sold them at the Dimes Holiday Sale, and who should come by...
No, SJP.
None other than the woman who lived downstairs from SJP in the show and Just Like That.
Oh, with her jewelry.
The jewelry girl. She didn't even look at our palms.
I don't think I would even recognize her. Well, she seems like
it took a minute because I was like, you're just like one of these people, but why do I... I thought maybe you're a dancer I know, and then I figured it out. We didn't sell a lot. We sold enough to kind of make our money back, but...
Well, you can order them now online.
Please.
Just send an email, write a message
through Reed and Harriet, and you can have a custom tulle pom-pom Christmas ornament or hair clip.
They're so cute. They're very beautiful. I think a whole tree of that. But then somebody have to buy all of them?
Yeah, I was like, come by, spend $500, leave.
I mean, $500 for, like, a iconic Christmas tree.
But the problem was, there was actually just not a lot of shopping that day. It was unfortunate.
The thing is, I think it did feel like it's too cold.
It wasn't...
I don't know, that was my feeling.
It wasn't that cold that day, but it just didn't go well.
It was cold here.
I
think what you need to do is get a tree and put them on that and then push that...
Down the street.
Pinterest... Yeah, I think it could be a whole thing.
Well, look, we bought extra trees. People have to see it to believe it. We were like, people are going to love this tree. They're going to...
No, but you need, like, that was not a Christmas tree.
A display tree.
Leafless. It was sticks.
It was absolutely sticks, but that's how you display stuff.
No, people want a Christmas tree.
Well, I don't have one.
I don't have one either, but we're not people.
No, we're monsters.
We're also not buying things to decorate anything
with. We're aberrations to mankind, you know, we should be slaughtered.
Although I do have seasonal decorations, you'll see when you come here tomorrow.
I hope there's a wreath that smells like the holidays. Okay. I'm coming to your home tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And we have all these holiday plans.
Oh, my God. Immediately arrive. Go to a party.
Party.
What can I contribute? Is there something from the city I can bring to help?
I was going to make this Claire de Bourg dessert called, like, a chewy ginger cake. Which there was a follow-up email that said... That recipe was incorrect. It is not 8 cups of molasses.
Oh, it's 8 tablespoons.
I think it's like a cup.
Cups. Wow. Okay.
And something of like, if you did make it, I hope you enjoyed your soup. Ginger syrup. Yeah,
yikes.
Something like that.
Yikes.
Really funny. You're certainly welcome to bring whatever. I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, Paige isn't doing her holiday cookie box anymore, but that is like,
that's the gift.
That's it.
Do we think Home Alone is a good holiday movie?
Okay, so I just read this article in the New York Times about asking the question, how rich are they?
In Chicago?
It's an interesting episode. Yes.
What is their last name?
So.
Kevin.
I don't know.
McAllister.
McCarthy.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And basically, they've determined that they are definitely in the
1%. Wow. Wow.
You know, because of that house.
Right.
And, you know, they like.
They all fly together.
Go to New York City. And when they go to Paris, apparently that's the uncle that's paying for that. Who apparently is like, I don't know. I guess in one of the, maybe in the third one, they go to Paris.
That's the post-Macaulay era.
Yeah, I didn't go to Paris with them. But yeah.
Wow. They're.
And there's also a thought that they are, that they maybe are like in the mob or something.
Well,
some kind of like, that this is like a revenge thing.
Are Daniel Stern or Joe Pesci related to the family in some way, or they're just criminals who happen upon the home?
I think they're criminals in that, you know, this is part of why they're choosing this house is because it's like they're the richest people in the neighborhood. But there's also maybe this idea that there's like something more. And then the question of what did the parents do for a job? Mm. People speculate that she was a fashion designer because there are those mannequins.
Catherine O'Hara.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then there's like, I think there were these like novelizations of the movie mm-hmm. in which she's a fashion designer and he's a businessman. Just keep it as businessman.
Businessman.
Anyway, I thought it was funny. I don't think it's a great movie. I think we feel connected to it because of a time and a place.
Yeah.
And I think because Donald Trump was involved, it can't be on any list.
Oh.
But hopefully Donald Trump is not allowed to be president again.
Well, I see what happened in Colorado.
Fingers crossed.
Now, is this a thing that could happen in other states?
Well, it'll go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will decide.
Well, it seems like they'll decide in favor of Donald Trump since he hired all of them. But
well, he did hire them, but he isn't their boss.
I suppose that's true.
He can't fire them. It's sort of the thing there.
Oh, yeah. He can't fire them.
So, I think the thing is more like, does the Supreme Court want to be seen as, like, deciding who's the next president?
Right.
And I'm like, well, they did it once before.
They certainly did.
At least. Oops. Got it wrong that time.
Although, oh my God, this is, I'm going to sound a bit monstrous right now.
Okay, here we go.
I was thinking about the young George Bush.
Yeah.
And I was really like, he's so cute.
Well, especially now after, you know, Troll and Chief.
Yeah, but I looked at
No one has made George Bush look better than Donald Trump.
And I looked at some old pictures of George Bush when he was doing military service, and he had this great unibrow, and he was just so, he was cute as a button. Cute as a button.
Sure.
So, that's all.
Bad
politics seems like a kind of nice guy, you know, likes to do
paintings.
Yeah,
does those paintings of himself.
Yeah. Those baths. I think it's nice.
I mean, I wish he just like started with painting and stayed there, but
he should have always he should have completely disappointed his parents and just become like a shitty painter. And not pursued this whole, you know, being the president
torture.
Of the United States, like some weird, sick lineage with his asshole father. But there you go.
But look at how crazy things turn out. Like, Liz Cheney's like...
Liz Cheney is somehow one of the most level-headed Republicans who exist at the moment, which is insane.
It's nuts.
Mitt
that we were
looking
to the Cheney
Mitt
family.
Mitt Romney seems like a saint.
Well, he's gone. It's
he's
over.
Like, I gotta get out of here. I'm just gonna go pray. Bye. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
It's bananas.
It is high stakes. out here.
So this, what, anyways, well, I always want people to, like, know what's going to happen with these, like, court things about Donald Trump, but it always goes badly. Like, I mean, I guess this is good. This is a...
What do you mean? It doesn't always go badly.
Say more.
No. What? Well, this is case in point, but, like, yeah, I think the scenario right now is that these things are just taking a while. But the Supreme Court will have to take this up or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't take it up, it will, my understanding is that it will have no effect, you know, nationally. Mm-hmm. It'll just be the case in Colorado. But if they do take it up, they will decide in one way or another for a national, you know, what
the Supreme Court says. So wait, in a situation where only Colorado adopts this thing, there'll be an election, but, like, Colorado can't vote.
But Donald Trump will not
be on the ballot. So he'll automatically not get electoral college points for Colorado. That's right. Did he get Colorado?
I don't think so.
Well, that's too bad.
You know, I think I don't know, but I think it's kind of a blue state for national politics, but don't quote me on that. That's what I heard somewhere on the deep net. But you know, other states are doing this as well. You know, are in this legal scenario hope there's as well. So
avalanche.
We assume the Supreme Court will take this up, and that they'll need to rule on it before the deadline for Colorado ballot stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, Donald Trump's thing in all these cases is, like, delay.
Mm.
But, like, at this moment, it is not in Donald Trump's best interest to delay this. So, that's sort of a difference. But yeah, I mean, Rudolph Giuliani, you know, was convicted and then immediately continued to harass and, you know, got sued again.
Oh my God, I just hope this somehow all works out. I'd love to see... Well, who will be on the Republican ticket if not Donald Trump? It feels like maybe not Ron DeSantis.
Well, no one likes
him. Yeah, it seems no one likes
him. Is what we learned. He's an unlikable person.
Right.
And I actually, in this moment, can't think of her name from Nikki South Carolina Haley? Or wherever. Nikki Haley. So that doesn't bode well that I couldn't remember her name.
I know. These people, I don't even know what she looks like. I'm sure she just...
Also, like, who's been watching these debates? Because they seem so absolutely irrelevant to anything that's actually going on. Nobody's watched anymore because
Donald Trump's not at them.
Well, also, like, they're all losing so bad. Like, who cares about what they have to say?
It's irrelevant. It's like, well, until Donald Trump is dead or out of the equation, like, none of you stand a chance.
Right. Well, especially if they don't go after him.
Yeah.
Because they're not even claiming to be better options than him.
Is that true?
Which is absurd. Yeah, because they're essentially running, like, as, like, just in case, or, like, make me a vice president. Yeah. Or, you know, some kind of cabinet position or something. Wow. So they're all, like, assuming they're not going to be the president, is my feeling. Except Chris Christie, who's, like...
Delusional.
I'm not going to... No, Chris Christie's like, I'm not going to be on it. I'm not going to be involved with the next Trump presidency.
I see.
But I'm going to try to be president. I don't know. That's, like, not going to happen. But
anyways.
Maybe he can sell a book or something.
This is going to be a weird year.
This is going to be a bumpy ride.
It's about to be 2024. The Biden presidency is winding up. So let's...
A lot of even numbers. Let's
see what happens. I can't believe it's 2024 already.
Well, it's not. It's not yet.
That's true.
But wow. Just about.
Oh my God.
Maybe we'll go see Poor Things.
Oh, sure. Love to.
You haven't seen it?
I got a message from a family friend saying, must go see the clothes.
Very excited for everything. I've also been trying to not see too much about it. Okay. Well, watch those Christmas movies.
Yes, Eyes Wide Shut. So Christmas.
Wow. Ugh. Love it. All right. We loves you, and we'll see you here again.
Bye-bye.
Jingle
that
bells, jingle
bells. Robin laid an egg. Okay, bye.